Let us turn, please, in the Word of God to Judges chapter 6, Judges 6 and verse 11. Judges chapter 6, and we'll commence at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock. And pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it, by day, that he did it by night. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Now, friends, we have been looking at the way that God called a weak and a very timid man named Gideon to be a judge of Israel in the time of their oppression under the wicked Midianites. And as we have seen, Gideon, he does not appear to be a likely candidate to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. When Gideon appears, he is hiding from the Midianites to prevent them from taking the small amount of grain that he possesses. When the Lord comes to Gideon, he tells him that he will be the deliverer of Israel, that he will truly be one of the judges. And Gideon, like most people, immediately complains about God's plan, and he tells the Lord why the Lord has got the matter wrong. And that is quite sad. And also it is very arrogant. And of course, he does not succeed in what he's saying to the Lord. And so Gideon finds himself worshiping the Lord. The Lord reveals himself to him. He realizes that this is the angel of the Lord, that he's in the presence of God himself. And he worships, he offers sacrifices, and he waits then for his orders. And as we continue to look at the account of Gideon, we will see for ourselves, as the Lord prepares him for the mission that lies ahead, God is at work in Gideon. God is preparing him, God is molding him, and God begins this long series of small and great specific steps that will lead to Gideon achieving great things for the glory of God. We see him becoming more prepared. We see him becoming more willing and ready to serve the Lord. We see him asking less questions and less criticisms. And yet at the same time, we see that even though he sometimes makes great progress in his walk of faith, yet then he has certain setbacks too. He's very much like us. So, but here we see the first step of faith, as it were. We see him take a stand against false religion that held his village and especially his family in spiritual bondage. And as we consider how God develops Gideon, we need to take a moment to ask ourselves some questions and apply the matter to our own hearts. Consider our own lives. The Lord is, according to his word, what we read in the scripture, he also develops us. He also challenges us. He also seeks to call us to service in some form. What kind of a things do we ask him? What kind of a thing do we say to him? He's perfecting that which concerns us. And in fact, the Lord's intention is in our own lives is to transform us. That's what God has planned. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has set his face to do in us. After he saves a lost sinner, then the Lord begins to work in his children so that the image of his son would be seen. So that's the plan, and that's what we see again and again repeated in the scriptures. In Ephesians 4 and verse 13, we read these words, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's the plan of God. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. In Romans 8 and verse 29, we read, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Here then we join Gideon as he is being trained, as he is developing. And we take a step at a time going through this life of Gideon. And we see in what ways he succeeds, in what ways he fails, what are the lessons that we take from it. And in verses 25 to 26, which we will spend most of our time this evening on, we see that how God commands us, as He commanded Gideon, how He commands Gideon and us to action and to service where we are. That's what He does. First of all, He calls someone, He reveals Himself to someone, we could say He saves someone, and then He calls them not to go somewhere far away. He doesn't call us specifically to do some great and mighty thing and to be responsible over many, many people, but He commands us into action and to serve where we are with the things that we already have. And this is something that we see here. The command that God gives and the instructions that Gideon has are specific. There are some specific things that the Lord teaches him, and that's one of the things that we see here. Look at verses 25 and 26. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock, of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Well friends, when God speaks to Gideon, it is in the same night we read, in the same night that He calls him. When God puts His hand on his life, and when he puts His hand on any one of our lives, He does not waste valuable time. He calls us to some form of service, some form of witness right away. He calls people for specific tasks at a specific time. And this was the first task that He had for Gideon. And when God calls, He commissions. And then He sends those who are called out to do His will. There was a saying of old, we are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. That's not something that we hear that often. We are saved to serve. The Lord commands Gideon to do something. It is a very specific command. He told, first of all, to take his father's second bullock. And that's quite interesting. That tells you something. Why not the first bullock? Why was the second bullock? Well, evidently, there was no first bullock. The first bullock was gone. The first bullock had been dedicated, most likely, to Baal. So the second bullock is the one which is still clean. Gideon is to take the young bullock and he is to make use of it to pull down his father's altar to Baal. He's to cut down the grove that stands by the altar. And this was an important thing. So the Lord gives him a specific task to do. Take the second bullock, go and cut down the grove, pull down the altar to Baal. And Baal worship, what a wicked thing it was. This Canaanite god of fertility, it appeared in different countries in the Middle East and even in different parts of Europe too, under different names, but it was basically an idol for fertility. The Canaanites believed that Baal was responsible for the success or failure of their crops and herds and their growth of their families. They did everything in their power to worship Baal and to ensure that he would bless them, and they would go to great lengths to do that. The grove was a sort of a pole that was called the Asherah pole. And Asherah was the Baal's female, as it were, partner or consort. And the worshippers practiced vile acts near the grove, which cannot be mentioned. But it is described in a variety of books on what people did. They believed that these acts would bring Baal's favor upon them and their families. And God commands something that is very specific. Gideon was to tear down the altar, and then he was to build a new altar on top of the rock that is mentioned earlier on in verses 21 or 20 and 21. Gideon was to build an altar to Jehovah, and he was to offer that young bullock, which would have been used for sacrifice to Baal, but it is now sanctified and sacrificed for the service of God and to be burnt as an offering for the Lord. Do you see, my friends, how God transforms a people? Somebody who was a Baal worshiper, somebody or things that would have been used for unclean things, unholy things, vile things. The Lord takes and changes people who were once His great enemies. He changes them and then He makes use of them. People who were fearful, He transforms them. And since altars to Baal were built on top of prominent hills, this was an act that could not be hidden. Everyone would have seen, everyone would have known what David or Gideon had done. If they didn't miss the altar to Baal, they would have seen at some point the smoke that would have risen from the burning of the sacrifice from the top of the rock. And friends, here, we must take these things to our hearts. God's commands for our lives, they are not hidden in mystery. His commands for us, praise God, they are simple things. Step by step, the Lord leads us and graciously opens ways for us and helps us to know His will. He doesn't desire us to psych ourselves up or get into some sort of a state of mind to know His will. And it's not some mystery that we have to follow some great gurus and people who are in touch with God to know what is God's will for us. His commands for us are also specific, that as He gave to Gideon. To find His will, we simply need to read the Scriptures with an open heart and prayerfully. And as we read the Scriptures, this is His will. And we pray, Lord, apply these things to me. Guide me, help me. And what He does in the preaching of His Word, in the reading of it, in the listening to it, and as we prayerfully consider, we see the Lord guiding us, helping us, answering prayer, providing for us things that we have been asking for. When we ask Him, Lord, show me Thy will, then we see Him working in certain situations, fitting certain things that we didn't think that it would open up or it will fit. And He would change our circumstances, answering prayer in different ways. God's Word comes to us and we know this is the Word for us. And we see Him convicting us of certain things, applying truth deep into our hearts. And this is a very humbling thing. We must humble ourselves before Him. And as we seek to serve Him, He opens more doors. He leads us further on in our Christian walk. In fact, knowing the will of God is something that Micah tells us in Micah 6 and verse 8. It says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There are times when God will place a specific call on your life. There are certain things that you will hear, and that will apply to you specifically. And when He does that, He makes it clear to us. He will speak through His Word, and His sheep hear His voice. His true people hear His voice. He guides us by the power of the Spirit, so gently and so graciously. And also through His church, through His people. Godly people would say something, would ask us to do something within the local assembly, and we see certain things opening up. Certain things are asked of us. Will you take part in this? Will you help with such and such a thing? What is the Lord saying to you about the way that He wants you to live your life? And what He wants you to do? How He wants you to serve Him? How He wants you to work in your daily life? What are the things He desires you to do in your home? In this congregation or, or in your workplace or whatever else. Another thing that we must note is that Gideon was to build his altar and make his sacrifice on the top of the hill on that rock because God did not want what he was about to do to be hidden. He didn't want that thing to be hidden away. And so the Lord says, do it. Go and do that. Cut down the grove that is by it. And then it says in verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. So there's a specific place that the Lord has ordered. It says, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. So it wasn't to be simply a mere sacrifice of blood, but it was to be a sacrifice of fire, a burnt sacrifice, it said. So it is quite visible, and not just to the eyes, but to the smell as well. People would have a smell, a burning sacrifice from great distances. And in the same way, that there are certain times and in certain things, God wants us to do something which others may see. It is a public witness. And friends, the Lord calls us to that. He doesn't call to be a hidden Christian. He wants Christians to shine for Him, not to hide the promises of the gospel under a bushel. To hide these things, the things the Lord has given to us. I was quite convicted reading through a book recently on the Korean revival that took place in the early 1900s, in 1904 and so on. And Banner of Truth published a very helpful book called The Korean Pentecost. I encourage you to read it. It is so challenging and so instructive. But to see what they, within that revival that was taking place, how careful those missionaries were to make sure to distinguish who are true believers by the fruit that they would display in their lives. And it wasn't a quick thing. They would wait and see for 6 months to a year and see what are the fruits. Are these people being a hidden Christian? Are these people who are serving are actually seen to evangelize, seen to serve the Lord in some capacity, seen to study. They had to, through a year before they are baptized, to be catechized and to keep the Lord's Day. They were told that if they are below 40, they should be studying. If they didn't know how to read, they should learn how to read so that they could read their Bibles. And there are certain things the missionaries said for their good that they ought to be doing as a sign that they are truly given over to God. It was a public witness as well in the way they would conduct their families and so on. Some things we wonder, how would it be done and was it right to do? But in the midst of the revival, these missionaries had to make certain decisions. So it was said that I don't know the wisdom of it, but that if a man had a wife, and if he was a converted man, before he's baptized, his wife, if she does not profess faith, then they wouldn't baptize because they questioned, was he being faithful at home? Why wasn't his wife attracted to the things of the gospel? We might question the wisdom of that kind of a thing. But they were trying to be careful, not to simply call everybody who's moved in some ways to say, well, they must be Christians. But here it is something that if we apply to our lives, we must ask ourselves the question about public witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never be ashamed of Him and what He calls us to do. Many sadly are ashamed in this day. Very few are vocal and visible in the worship and the work for the Lord. We all should be visible, at least in the gatherings of the church, in times of prayer, in support of various kinds of evangelism amongst children, amongst adults, and in other parts, and to be wholly seeking to serve the Lord in whatever we can do. I know we can't do everything, and there are limitations on all of us. But there should be no one who is merely a hidden Christian. Nothing is seen in their life. And here is something the Lord is saying. This is something you must do. It is all visible. It is all before the people. We should seek to honor the Lord by the way we worship and the way we work. We are not to be absent Christians from the service of God. It was also a spiritual command that the Lord was giving here. There were some spiritual lessons behind this, why the Lord said these things. God had two purposes in issuing this command to Gideon. First, God intended to demonstrate his superiority over Baal. False worship is something that the Lord hates and he abominates. And he cannot have that. And he shows his greatness over all false things, all idols. And so Gideon would topple Baal's altar, and Baal would be powerless to stop it from happening. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? We see it again and again in the Bible. False idols fall, but the Lord's word, the Lord's church, the Lord's people continue on. That's one thing. Another thing is that God wanted Gideon to know that God would be with him, regardless of the opposition he faced. And friends, this is a small step. This is a small, we could say, the beginning of the walk of faith for Gideon. But it was to prove to him that God would never forsake him when he was doing what was God's will, and God never did. And so this is something he does right there amongst people that knew him rather than amongst the strangers. It is within his own household, as it were. And friends, God is still accomplishing those same two objectives in our lives. Every time he gives us a command to obey and we carry it out for his glory, he shows a lost world that he is God and he is worthy to be worshipped. When God's people seek to follow the Lord, the world is watching. And the world is seeing how a life is being transformed. A life that used to be godless and full of idolatry and superstitious. The world sees that. As it were, the altars to Baal are falling in our lives. And every time he uses us to accomplish his will, he reminds us afresh that we are not alone. He reminds us that his hand is on our lives for his glory. And that is what makes serving him so special. It is such a privilege to serve him. I don't need to understand everything. I don't need to work out where everything fits in its right place in my life. But I need to faithfully do what he tells me and to know that for sure that he will take care of me. And he will take care of you as you seek to put your trust in him and to rest in him as you go forward to obey him. And when that happens, God is glorified. The idols in our lives and the idols in this world are toppled down and we are encouraged. God is with us. People might leave us, but the Lord will never leave us. And another reason that altar had to be torn down was that it was a hindrance. It was a hindrance to God's work being done in Gideon's family. It had a stronghold within that society. It had a stronghold within amongst his kin. And the community that was there, it was attached to it. It had to be removed. It was a problem for them. It was a weakness for them. Idol worship. And so this stronghold had to be pulled down. It should not be there half built. or to be covered up. No, it has to be pulled down altogether. And until that pagan altar was destroyed and the people, then it was that the people would be delivered from not just the power of the Midianites, but from the power of Baal. That was the reason why they were there under the oppression that they were there, because they had forsaken the Lord. And they had turned to these idols. So the Lord was dealing with the root of the matter. And friends, God would not lead them until these things are dealt with. The root issues are dealt with. And the Lord wants to lead us by dealing with the root issues in our lives. And that's so true for us. Until we take the initiative to rid ourselves of the things that hinder our walk with the Lord, we will not see the Lord use us as we want Him to use us. This is what we read in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So these things need to be put to one side, must be got rid of, and let us run with patience. So there's the getting rid of things, but then going forward in towards something. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so by extension, the same principle holds true for the church, for each individual sitting here. And we want God's blessing. We want God's power to be upon us. And what we do here, we must be seeking to cleanse ourselves from anything that offends the Lord. Keeping short accounts with God. Coming to the Lord again and again and again. Plead with Him for cleansing, for pardon. To be our lives to be free from evil influences. Evil influences are all around us. Temptations are all around us. We don't have to go right in the midst of heathen religions. But they're flooding our homes and flooding wherever we walk. Variety of temptations. Variety of false ideas. And of course, the entertainment industry in our day, which seeks to come into our lives from the media in different ways. We have to watch those things. And there are at times temptation is so great, you have to say to yourself, well, I'm going to get rid of this thing. Whatever is hindering my walk with God. There are certain things that we fall into again and again and again. The altar to Baal did not appear just overnight. They thought about it. They had done certain things beforehand. And then they raised it. They build up towards it. It was an expensive thing that they would do to build an altar for Baal. And if you see some of the places where still there are certain altars, you would think how much they have spent on such things. But another thing we see, and with this I finish, is that this command was a simple command. There's nothing especially difficult about it in terms of understanding what to do. It was a command for Gideon about something that he could do. The Lord wasn't asking him to do something he couldn't do. And that shows the grace of God in it. Gideon at that time couldn't go out and be the redeemer and the savior of Israel. He wasn't in that position, but he was able to go and pull down an altar. This was a small step, we could say. Oh, it must have filled his heart with fear as well, as we see. He doesn't do it in the daytime. But in comparison to what he was to achieve, it was a small step to prepare him for what he could not do later on. Gideon had also everything that he needed to do what God was telling him to do. He didn't have to go great miles to try to find a bullock or to try to do certain things. No, he was just beginning to follow the Lord and obey His commands. And so God graciously was dealing with him and talking to him and commanding him about things that were simple and doable, achievable. He merely had to do it. That's all. He didn't have to work it all out. He didn't have to have a great plan for it. The Lord had already said to him what to do. All he had to do was to follow the Lord and trust the Lord by faith. And so God was using this command, this simple command, to prepare Gideon for something far more difficult. God was strengthening his faith. God was preparing Gideon to do later on things that would have been impossible for him then. Gideon would have never believed God for the impossible had he not seen the Lord first work in these things that seemed to be possible. And God uses the same kind of a strategy, the same kind of plan for us as well. When we are first converted, God gives us small tasks that we can accomplish. We see that in the lives of a variety of people in the scriptures. We see that in the life of David and how he was led from small things and then increased to greater things, and then the great battles that he fought. Abraham, again, first, the Lord simply calls him to go out, not knowing where he was going to go. And after a while, as he made progress, the Lord then called him even to the sacrifice of his son, and so on. Peter, who he denied the Lord the first time, he was tested, but he learned to stand in the faith and preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to the point of even death that the Lord prophesied of him. And so as we prove faithful in the small things, God assigns for us then later greater things. When we do those things by his grace, he leads us further. He shows us further things. There's progress to be made. We must be growing people. Friends, if we are, in one sense, spinning our wheels, as the saying is, if we are not making progress with God, is it because we are not obeying the simple commands of God, taking the basic steps of obedience and faith, trusting in him? This is how the Lord works and leads us further. In Luke 16 and verse 10, we read, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Is our problem often that we don't do the small things that he asks us to do? And this is part of discipleship. This is part of the Christian growing. Is this why our progress at times is not as it ought to be? When we are asked to, we are called to pray and commune with God, and we seem not to do that. When we are called to read his word and store it up in our hearts and study it and prayerfully. When we are called to have fellowship with God's people, to worship with God's people, when we are called to give to the work of God and tithe, when we are called to witness for the Lord, when we are to serve him in different ways that are available to us, if we are hindered from those things, or if we are not being consistent in those things that are opened up to us, and the Lord simply asks us to do these things, in things that we can do by his grace, why should we then expect him to use us in greater ways and move forward with us or send us further on? So here is something for us to learn. Here was a hindrance for the people of Israel. And the Lord went to the root of the matter with them. Gideon was called out. Before he was to go and deal with the enemies, he had to deal with the issue of the heart. This altar was set up to an idol. It was false worship. People's hearts were being taken by this. And the Lord said to Gideon, this is something there close to you. You don't have to walk for miles. You don't have to achieve great things right now. But this is, for me, important for you to do. And so go and do this. Use the very things that you have in your possession. And go and do this thing that is at hand, and I will lead you. And that's what we see. Well, I think we will stop here at this point, and we will take up the other thoughts that are contained here for another time. Well, may the Lord bless his word to us.